So let's pray together before we begin our study. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav, etzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. One of the folk names of Messiah was Leper Messiah. And some of the Jewish people was thinking that Messiah would come and he would actually be a leper. And others thought that he would show care and concern for the lepers. And others thought that he would be treated like a leper. Different ways of reading and understanding from Isaiah 53, which talks about Messiah coming. Now, what's interesting is there are some Jewish people today who think that Isaiah 53 is not about Messiah, but in fact, historically, the Jewish people have held it is about Messiah. And so, at the time of Yeshua, many expected that Messiah would heal lepers. And that, in fact, was one of the proofs that Yeshua gave about who he was. Now, a story about lepers is normally read this week, and here's the background. The king of Aram was making war against Israel, and at one point his army laid siege to the city of Samaria. Samaria is a region, but it also is a city. And Aram, if you didn't know, was a kingdom in the area that is now Syria, and it included the city of Aleppo. How many of you have followed the news about the war in Syria and the destruction in Aleppo? So the king of Aram was from that area, and he laid siege to the city of Samaria, and this caused a famine in Samaria. He surrounded the city. He used his army to control all entrance and exit from the city. So there was no way to go out and harvest food in the fields. There was no way to bring food in. And as a result, food was very scarce. It was expensive. You can read in the Haftorah portion about how expensive it was, how difficult it was to get food. There were even reports that are recorded in the scriptures of cannibalism during the famine. It was terrible. And during the time of the siege, there were four lepers who were from the city of Samaria, but because of their uncleanness, they had to go outside of the city and remain there until they became clean. They weren't allowed in, and so they were kept in isolation. They were quarantined, if you will, they were outside and caught between a rock and a hard place. There was the army of Aram on one side, and there was the city, which had no food, on the other side. And so that's when they decide that the best thing they can possibly do in the midst of this desperate situation, hungry, starving, and figuring that they probably will die, they decide they're going to surrender themselves to the army of Aram. So let's read the story. It's in 2 Kings chapter 7. And we'll start in verse 3. These four lepers have a conversation. They say to each other, "Why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there, and we certainly will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. And if they spare us, we live. And if they kill us, we die." So they're going through a very simple chain of logic. If we don't do anything, we're going to die. If we try to get back into the city, we're going to die. Probably if we go to the army, they're going to kill us, but at least it will be quick. But there is a chance that they'll spare us. So they all agree, four lepers agreeing together, "Let's go surrender." So at dusk, they got up. They went to the camp of the Arameans, and when they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there. Verse 6 says, and this is why. The Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us. They all heard the same thing. They convinced each other what it was. Have you ever had the experience of being at home alone in the middle of the night? It's dark. You're not always there by yourself, and you hear a sound. And you hear a noise. And have you ever imagined what it is that's actually doing that, making that sound? Is it a wild animal? Someone broke in? The heart starts racing. Well, the Aramean army had this mass experience. They all hear the same kinds of sounds. The sounds of chariots and horses and a great army. And they tell each other, they get convinced, the king of Israel's hired the Hittite and the Egyptian kings to attack us. So they convince themselves there's a huge coalition of armies that's come to rescue the besieged city. Somehow this has happened. I mean, these are professional soldiers that are having this experience. Verse 7. So they get up, and they fled in the dusk. They abandoned their tents, their horses, and donkeys. They didn't even try to ride out. They snuck out. And they left as the camp as it was and ran for their lives. So, mind you, you know, these four lepers, they're coming, you know, in fear and desperation, and they're going to surrender. They don't know what's going to happen. The place is empty, but there are all these professional soldiers running for their lives. Verse 8, the men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp. They entered one of the tents, and they ate and they drank. And then they took silver and gold and clothes and went off, and they hid them. So they were thinking clearly. It's right? You're like, ah, this is so good. We've just eaten for the first time. And they're rich now. And instead of whatever tattered clothes they may have, they've got new clothes. And they have the clarity of thinking, let's go hide this stuff because we don't know what's going to happen next. And if we have to go get it later, at least we have our buried treasure. So then they come back, and they go into another tent, and they took some of the things from it, and they hid them also. Verse 9, then they said to each other, and this is such an important moment. They said to each other, what we're doing is not right. And here's their insight. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace in the city of Samaria. And so these four lepers went and they called out to the city gatekeepers and they told them this. We went into the Aramean camp and no one was there, not even a sound of anyone. Only tethered horses and donkeys and the tents left just as they were. So the gatekeepers shout the news, and it gets reported all the way into the palace to the king. The king got up in the night, and he said to his officers, after he hears this news, I tell you what the Arameans have done to us. They know we're starving. So they've left the camp to hide in the countryside, and they think that we'll surely come out and then they can take us alive and take our city. So the king is sort of thinking like the Arameans were thinking. There's good news that's being brought to the king, but his first response is, this is a trick. The enemy wants to destroy us, and he thinks we're going to fall for it. So one of the king's officers says, here's a plan. Have some men take five of the horses that are left in the city. Their plight will be like that of all the Israelites left here. Yeah, they'll only be like all these Israelites who are doomed. So if the king was feeling, I don't want to, you know, put these men into harm's way, his officers are saying, hey, they're going to die anyway because they're with us. We're all going to die. What's our future? We're starving. We are going to perish, so they have nothing more to lose. Let them go, and at least they can find out what happened. Verse 14, so they selected two chariots with their horses, and the king sent them after the Aramaean army. He commanded the drivers, go and find out what has happened. They followed them as far as the Jordan, and they found, this is what they find. The whole road is strewn with the clothing and equipment the Arameans had thrown away in their headlong flight. So these soldiers who had laid siege to the city, they are running for their lives because they got scared because they all heard the same sound in the night. And they're running as fast as they can, and it's so hot, they are not only throwing off their armor and their weapons, they're taking off the rest of their clothes too, you know, just trying to run as fast as they can to get as far away as they possibly can. And so the messengers return, they report to the king, and then the people went out, and they plundered the camp of the Arameans. And as a result, a measure of the finest flour sold now for one coin, and two measures of barley sold for a coin, just as the Lord had said. Now there's a reference, if you read in the earlier part of this whole story, in the previous chapter, Elisha the prophet has come, and he has made a declaration to the king of Israel, who's at Samaria, that everything's going to change and it's going to happen quickly. That the food that is so scarce is going to become abundant, and he names the prices. He says, you know, there's going to be so much flour and so much barley, it's going to sell for, this much is going to sell for just a very little. And one of the officers, one of the aides to the king, mocks the prophet and says, you're right. Even if the floodgates of heaven were to open right now, this would never happen. And Elisha, the prophet, brings a word to this officer, and he says, oh, it will happen. And you won't be able to eat any of this. You won't buy any of this. Verse 17, now the king had put the officer on whose arm he leaned in charge of the gate. That's the officer, that one who had mocked the prophet. And the people trampled him in the gateway, and he died, just as the man of God had foretold when the king came down to his house. And so it happened, as the man of God had said to the king, about this time tomorrow, a measure of the finest flour will sell for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. So that's the story. It's an incredible story. And when I read about this, it helped me think about how God was working at that time. Remember that the lepers were considered unclean. And there were different understandings of this kind of skin disease, tzaraat. Some connected it with the tzaraat, the leprosy of Miriam, the sister of Moses, who had gossiped against Moses. And then she had this outbreak of leprosy. And one of the teachings was, this kind of leprosy is the result of gossip. And so there was a need for repentance and a need for separation. So there were some who said this is the cause, but when we look in the scriptures, we see that not every case of leprosy was treated this way, but the priest treated it as a spiritual problem that required a spiritual assessment. Is this person clean or not? And gossip in Hebrew is known by this term, lashon hara, which means evil tongue, evil speaking, speaking evil of others. So the lepers whether they themselves in this case were guilty of gossip or not, there is a general association in the minds of the people that this was a punishment. And so even if it wasn't at that time, they easily could have been thinking the lepers were guilty of gossip, of using their own mouths to speak gossip against others. They were isolated, they weren't welcome inside the greater community, and they were separate, really in quarantine. They weren't allowed to fit in or to belong. They could easily have felt alienated. And so as the story goes, in their desperation, they decide to surrender to the enemy, and they hope that at least they will get either food or a quick death. And they discover, as we read, that the enemy has fled, and as a result, these lepers have been saved. And now they have abundance. So think about this. They go from worn-out clothing and starvation to plenty of food, plus gold, plus silver, plus new clothes. So they're rich. And they're talking to each other. You know, this plan worked a whole lot better than they thought it was going to. And they use a word to describe what they're experiencing. It's I'll give you the root word, besara. Say that with me, besara, which means good news. And you may be familiar with this word because it's used in different places in the scriptures, and Isaiah is used several times. It's translated into Greek as evangelion, from which we get evangelist, evangelical, and all those different forms. But into English, this word is often translated gospel, good news. And so they are saying, we have good news. We have good news. It's not right that we would keep this to ourselves. Isn't that an interesting insight for lepers? And the reason I say for lepers is because they have faced rejection, they faced isolation and quarantine. They're outside of the community. It's much easier for them, you know, according to normal human nature, to feel like whatever is happening to them is good for them, but it's just for them. Why would they go to the people who had kicked them out of the city? Why would they go to the ones who consider them unclean? But they had this moment of clarity that did require moral courage. They have the thought, it's not right that we've been saved, but the rest of the people are perished. And they say, we must go tell them the good news. And that's what really hit me about this story. God used lepers to tell the Jewish people the good news. And without the lepers, no one in the city would have known that there was good news. So think about the details. When they bring the good news, it's not believed. It's treated like a trick of the enemy. And then there's a realization, it really is good news. And the ones who were rejected and unclean and isolated and outside, they in fact are the ones who are bringing the good news. So think about how much depended on the lepers. Those desperate lepers, if they had not been outside the city, they would not have been in a position to even think about doing what they did. If they had thought that there's no hope for themselves and no future for themselves, they could have wandered off into the hills, into the caves, and thought, you know what, we have no hope for the rest of our lives. Let's just withdraw from human society and all civilization. But in fact, they were outside the city gates waiting. And so there was a little bit of expectation still inside them. If we wait, this situation that we're in will turn, and our suffering will turn. Now, if the desperate lepers hadn't remembered the rest of their people, if they had not decided to act courageously for the sake of others, then no one else would have been saved. They could have been eating, they could have been rich, and they could have kept the news to themselves, and the rest of Israel could have continued in starvation. And if the lepers had been so alienated and so upset and so fearful that all they were concerned about was for themselves, they wouldn't have had the insight that it wasn't right for them to enjoy the salvation alone. They could have said, good for us, bad for them. We've all had this experience. Someone we're really upset with has bad fortune, misfortune, and we're tempted to think, yeah, God's getting even with them. When the shoe's on the other foot, we never want to think that way. If those desperate lepers had been too afraid of rejection, if they had said, you know what, they've already rejected us. If we go to them, they're going to reject us again. If they thought, they'll never believe us, which was a very rational thing to think, because at first they didn't believe them. But if they stayed in that position of being afraid of rejection, no one else would have been saved. And so when I think about that, it really helps me think about ourselves and the messianic movement, because we're sort of like lepers. Yeah. Remember, Yeshua the Messiah was treated like a leper. He was put outside the camp, crucified outside the city by Rome. He was treated like an outcast, and he was put outside the camp by rabbinic Judaism. But Hebrews chapter 13, verse 13 says this: let us go to him outside the camp and experience the same reproach. He's being treated like a leper. Let us go to him and experience the same mistreatment. So if you are a Jew or a Gentile in the Messianic movement, I think you can learn courage from the lepers. God used them, and God is using us. And so you have to get comfortable in your own skin as a leper. All of us together, Jews and Gentiles, we belong together to Yeshua. And we can be misunderstood. We can be mistreated by our own families, by our friends, by our original communities. They may not understand. They may have another explanation about what we're saying is the good news. Oh yeah, this is a trick of the enemy. But I can tell you this, we're part of something great. And we have good news to bring. We have good news for the Jewish people. We have good news for the whole world, for every ethnic group, every people group, every nationality. So it was the lepers who brought the good news to Israel that day. And I just want to say, welcome to the leper colony of Messiah. And take courage. Don't wait until all rejection has been overcome. Don't wait until everybody understands everything. Others depend on you bringing the good news, even when you're considered by some to be an outcast. And remember, these lepers, they stuck around because they knew the greater community that they belonged to, and they put their hearts right in service to the true God who had everyone in mind, not just themselves. So I want to encourage you, get some leper quality chutzpah and do not be afraid to bring good news. Yeshua read from Isaiah 61, one day in the synagogue, that Haftorah scroll, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim Besarah, good news. Isaiah 52:7 says, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of the one who brings Besarah, good news. The good news of peace and salvation, of shalom and Yeshua, the news that the God of Israel reigns. You may be a leper to someone, but you're bringing good news from God. And so you have to know who you serve and who gave you the good news so that you can bring it with boldness and with the good in mind. every Jewish person you tell the good news to who believes in Yeshua will thank you that you told them. Every person from any other nationality who you tell the good news to who believes will be thankful that you told them. And they won't think of you as a leper. They will think of you as the one who brought good news, the news of salvation. So be strong and be courageous. Whether you're Jewish, whether you're from any other people group, know this, that God has given you good news to declare. If you know Yeshua is Adonai, you can tell other people. And I want to just pray that you will have the chutzpah, you have the boldness, and you will have the courage and the good intentions that these lepers had, and that you will take inspiration from them. So look around. You're probably not sitting next to a leper, but God can use you anyway. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love and your goodness. Thank you that you use even the outcasts to bring the good news, because you desire that none would perish and all would be saved through Messiah Yeshua. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to close with Aaron's blessing. And so you can stand up. And at the same time, I want to invite the Rose family and your greater family to go to those doors. So gather up your stuff. Because after we pray right now, parents who have children in Shabbat school, go get them. Don't leave them there. Go get them immediately. Don't leave them there for 5 more minutes. Go get them and then meet us at the Shalom Center. And then the rest of us will follow the Rose family out along that sidewalk, and we will go to the Shalom Center where we'll have an onang. So let's pray. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichonecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Come join us. We will not be staying in here. Gather up your things and take them with you.